Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning. Y'all doing all right today? Oh my goodness, I brought my 32-inch TV today to preach from, and I had it all ready to go. And right when I walked up here, it's done something completely different. There's my sermon. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to welcome everybody that is watching online today. And we're in a sermon series called The Beatitudes or Summer on the Mount. And man, give it up for the speakers that have already brought amazing words to us. Oh, each one. What blows me away is they're just such small little snippets that Jesus preaches. And each one of those tiny little snippets can be just an entire sermon series. Because that's who Jesus was. He was the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. So His Word is powerful. And I'd like to just pray before I get started, because I want God to be in control. I want God to get me out of the way. I don't want to be distracted by notes. I don't want to be distracted by nerves. I just want God to do something here today. Is that okay? Let's pray. God, we just come before You today because You're mighty, because You are holy, because You know everything, and honestly, we know nothing. Lord, Your Word is alive, it's sharp, it's quick, it goes straight to the point. It's exactly what we need. It is truth, and it's the one truth. It doesn't change. It's perfect. It's Yours, and You've given it to us, Your people, Your bride, Your church. And Lord, I pray today, God, that You would have Your way, that You would just speak to us today, that You would move, that You would change hearts, and that You would change lives like only You can do today, because You're mighty, because You're holy, because we love You, because You're just amazing, and You are our God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I was really hoping that I would get any other sermon than blessed are the meek. I wanted blessed are the persecuted. I mean, that one's like, man, you can preach from that. You can, man, I mean, there's that, all of them except the one I was given was really interesting to me. So thanks a lot, Pastor Robin. Really appreciate you. But the verse I'm preaching from today is from Matthew 5:5. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I'll be honest with you, I have not given this verse much attention my entire adult Christian life. In fact, I really never really dug into it. I haven't really, you know, kind of got into what it really meant. Truly and honestly, I'm like, okay, God does a lot of things opposite. You know, we serve a God where the last is first and the first is last. And, you know, he does things that are not normal, that are not natural to humanity. He's a forgiving God. He gives His grace. He gives, you know, our natural inclinations as humans is to hold grudges. I mean, everything is so opposite. And so when I think about this verse, I think, okay, God wants to bless quiet, mousy, wimpy, just, you know, no, just super meek people. And I'm like, wow, God, okay, that's great. You know, okay, good on them. They get passed up. Meek people get passed over. They're like a wallflower. You walk into a room and you don't even know they're there. You know, I mean, that's what I get to preach on today, you know? You know, I thought it was, yeah. And so it is. It's, you know, you think about meek and it's not something you really get excited about, being meek. Being meek. And we don't even use that word in our vernacular anymore, in our communication. We're not saying, oh man, Pastor Erica, you look so meek today. You just look so meek. You know, we don't say that. So I needed to dig in a little bit more. I needed to figure out what meek meant. And so I got the definition. It's quiet. It's lowly. It's gentle. It's easily imposed on, submissive, patient, long-suffering, shy, and resigned. And that kind of goes against, that definition goes against everything we hear and see, everything we're told to be today. We're told to be outspoken. We're told to be bold. We're told to, you know, stand up for yourself, fight for yourself. Don't take nothing from nobody. You know, don't let that person talk to you like that. You're not allowed to get treated that way. Stand up for yourself. That's kind of what we're taught. That's our society. You know, it's be assertive. Be tough. Be you know, hardcore. And my son, he plays basketball, and he just started playing basketball. He's 13 years old, and he's already 6 foot tall. He's just started playing basketball a year ago. I've been trying to get him to play basketball his entire life, and just 1 year ago, he's like, I want to play basketball. And so he's been playing ball, and he's been doing, you know, he's been just killing it, doing amazing. Playing basketball, he's been doing great. And the last thing that I want him to do when he goes out on the court is be gentle. Be lowly. Son, I want you to be meek when you go today. Hand the ball over to the others. Share it. Just, you know, don't be too aggressive. Just be a nice teammate. Don't be too loud. Don't be too aggressive. Just go out there and just be gentle. Be lowly. No! I want my son to be Shaq. I want my son to go out on that basketball court, and I want him to block the mess out of some tiny little kid's ball. I want him to knock the ball into... I want him to steal every ball. When he doesn't get the ball, when they have the ball, it's like, son, that's your ball. You need to get that ball. That's your ball. That's your ball, son. And, you know, I don't want him to be meek. I don't want him. I want him to be a monster. I want him to be aggressive. I don't want him punching kids. We won't get there. But I want him to be aggressive. I don't want him to be lowly. I don't want him to be meek. And he's so tall. He's got a wingspan that's like 6 feet wide. And it's sad because I used to be able to beat him in basketball. And I've played basketball my whole life. He's 13. He's played basketball 1 year. And now he beats me. So it's not fair. I have a video of my son blocking a shot. I'd like to show that right now. You can go ahead and show that again if you'd like. That poor kid juked. He did a pump fake, which means he faked an opponent, went by, and he was all set up to go. No. Man, proud daddy. So why does Jesus tell us that blessed are the meek? What is it about the meek? Why do they inherit the earth? I realized that I wasn't understanding the depth of this scripture. I realized that I had not even dug in, and that there is so much more to this tiny verse of scripture. And when I began to study and dig into this, God began to dig me up. God began to show me areas of my life and show me areas of my heart that needed to change. Entire areas of my life. Jesus was meek. Matthew 11 and 28 says this, and I'm going to be pulling a lot out of this verse today because this verse, it just encapsulates everything that we need to hear today. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And now listen to this, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is saying, come to me, you who are struggling. Come to me, you with the weight of the world on your shoulders. Come to me, you who are tired and weary and worn out. Come to me, you who don't have it all together, who's just trying to make ends meet, who are trying to keep their families together. Come to me, you who are trying to work a job where everything's against you. Come to me, you who have so much weight on your life that you feel you're being crushed. Come to me, you who feel like your health is falling apart, your marriage is falling apart, your homes are falling apart, your kids are just going crazy. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. He says, learn from me. Look at me. I'm meek. I am lowly. I am gentle. And I realized that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It's a posture. It's a way of living. Meekness is not a weakness. Meekness is not a lack of strength. It's not a lack of power. You're not just giving up. But it's a posture. You're living in a posture. You are living in a position of trusting God for everything. Everything. Meekness is not a lack of strength. It is strength under control. I began to think of an example of what meekness is. And I immediately thought of my dog, Tess. I have a picture of Tess. Maybe. That's Tess. She's a big old Great Dane. And Great Danes are our favorite dogs in the whole world. We love them. We love them. They are gentle giants. And she's the most kind, gentle, meek animal. She is so sweet. She has never done anything that really, like other dogs, shred couches. But she's just been a cool, amazing dog her entire life. And she's an old girl now. She's almost 10 years old, which for a Great Dane is, you might as well be 150 when you're 10 years old for a Great Dane. But we call her Tess, and that name is actually short for giantess. She's a giant. And she's very calm. She's very relaxed. But when people come up to the front door and they see this monster of a dog, is that dog friendly? Because it's over 100 and something pounds. And if Tess wanted to, Tess could be a mean monster. If Tess came up to you snarling and growling and running at you at 150 pounds at 25 miles an hour, you would probably run up a tree, jump on a car. You would be terrified. I would be terrified. And, you know, she just never in her life growled at us. She's never in her life bit me or bit any of my kids. My kids have jumped on her growing up. My kids have tried to ride her like a horse growing up. All of these things. And she's never showed a single bit of aggression towards us. And there's a reason for it. Because she feels safe with us. Because we've always taken care of her. Because we've always fed her. We've never left her out in the cold or never left her out in the heat of the day. We've catered to her. We have comforted her when she got sick. We love her, and she trusts us, and she submits to us, and she's a gentle giant who's under control. T- Tess is strength contained, power contained. But she's submissive. She's sweet. She's kind. She doesn't have to lash out. She doesn't have to, you know, bark at us for food. She's weak. She's sweet. She's a sweet dog. Biblical meekness is controlled strength. And that's a strength that puts everything in the hands of God. And I've got a story, and I literally have 12 pages of notes, and most of it is this story, so I'm going to try to get by pretty quick. But a long time ago, I graduated college, spent 6 years in college, and I finally graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Computer Systems Management. I am a nerd. I'm a nerd, and I have a degree to prove it. But I graduated, and my graduation ceremony was going to take place in Park City, Utah, like the ski capital of the world, snow skiing. So I said, let's invite some friends, let's invite whoever wants to go. And so Pastor Erica and Pastor Robin came with us. My sister came with us, and we went skiing. And I want to tell you something. Pastor Robin can ski. This dude worked at a ski, a ski resort. So, man, he could ski. And I started the day trying to ski, and I was doing that pizza thing where you're like trying to slow down and just not die. I started the day just trying not to die. So we skied what's called a green, which is like the baby ski slopes where there's not much going on. I got comfortable. Pastor Robin was showing me how to do stuff. I started getting good. And then we went to a blue, which is the next level up. And I was terrified. But then I got down that blue, and he was showing me tricks. He was showing me all kinds of stuff. It was awesome. And then he said, let's ski a black. Y'all, black is, that's next level stuff. And so, all right, we're going to do it. And we got up to the top, and I looked down, and it looks like I'm looking at 100 feet, just straight down, and I'm supposed to ski down that. And he says, no, just do this. You go down. You can slow yourself down really good. You slow it down. You know, keep doing that. Am I doing that right? And I was doing that. I got down the mountain without dying. I was like, yeah! Woo! I was having a blast. We were killing it. Then we just started flying all over the place and having a blast. And then we were like, man, we were like wrapping up the day. It was awesome. It was an awesome day of skiing. I had such a great time. And then there's this little place where we were heading down to lunch or something. And there was this little place where you could jump. And I was like, I ain't doing that. And Robin turns to me and he says, Will, watch this. I'm going to do something stupid. And can I just pause for a second? If somebody says that, go ahead and call the police. Just go ahead and call an ambulance. It'll save so much time. I mean, just proactively, okay, this is going to end very, very badly. So he says, watch this. I'm going to do something stupid. And I'm like, okay. So he starts skiing up to this jump, and I later learned the move you were trying to do. It's called spinning a heli. It's called spinning a heli, where you're literally turning yourself and your skis into a helicopter. You're flying through the air, and then supposedly you're supposed to land at some point. And I see Robin take off on this jump. It looked awesome. He was spinning through the air. Snow was flying off of his skis. I'm like, woo, man, look at this. And he's flying, and he's flying, and he's going down. And then he went down. Like down. He hit in a way where he smacked his head. And he began to tumble like a rag doll down the hill. He lost consciousness. He hit his head so hard on that hard snow So it went from wow to oh. And all of a sudden, the guy who could ski blacks that day forgot how to ski. I'm like just floppling down the mountain, trying to get to him. He's tumbling down the mountain. He's like a rag doll. He's just tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. Then he stops, and he's dead still. He's not moving. And I get up. I finally get to him, and I knew at that moment that I needed to pray. I knew at that moment that there was this peace that came over me, this calmness that came over me. I wasn't freaking out. I wasn't crying. I wasn't screaming. I just laid my hands on his back. He wasn't moving. I couldn't feel him breathing. And I began to pray. God, this is yours. This is, he's yours. He's your servant. He's got a lot of sermons to preach, so you got to figure all this out. Whatever happened here, you got to figure all this out. And I began to pray. And I continued to pray and just trust God and believe God. And then he would move his arm a little bit. And this took a while. And then he moved his leg. And then he'd start kind of moving around. And I got the snow from under his face. And I stuck a hat under there just so his face wouldn't be in the snow and he could breathe. And then he began to making like these guttural noises. And then he finally picks his head up. He goes, where am I? I said, you're on the mountain. You just hurt yourself. He goes, where's my wife? I said, she's down below. Where am I? You're on the mountain. You just hurt yourself. Where's my wife? She's down the mountain. Where am I? You're on the mountain. You're right here. You just hit your head really, really hard. And he starts, I'm telling him not to move a whole lot. I'm telling him not to move around. And then would you believe the next person that skied up to us was a nurse? And she knew exactly what to do. And they called the ski patrol, and they came up with a stretcher. They took him down the mountain. And I've got his skis. I've got his boots. I've got my skis. I've got my boots. And I'm trying to get down the mountain with all of this. By the time I got to the bottom of the mountain, I was worn out and tired. Because if you've ever walked in ski boots, it's the stupidest thing ever. So I get down to the mountain. The adrenaline rush is gone. I'm tired. I'm sweating. It's 20 degrees out, and I'm pouring down sweat. I'm soaking wet. I go into the ski shop. I tell them what happened. And immediately, one of the guys in the ski shop says, give me those skis. Let me check to see if they're okay. And I said, come again? What? I just told you my friend hurt himself, and you're worried about these skis? And all of a sudden, the wheel, who had everything in control up in the mountain, the blood started to boil in my body. I began to reminisce of my thuggish years as a teenager. And I turned to this dude and I said, bro, you better shut your mouth right now. I'm about to knock you out. And he goes, you don't bring that mess in the ski shop. And I said, let's take this mess outside. Let's take this mess outside because I wanted all of the teeth in his mouth to be on the ground. I did. And my sister came in. She grabbed me and pulled me out of that ski shop. And I didn't know that, like, you don't talk mess in a ski shop. I didn't know that, okay? But I will say this. I was meek on the mountain because I trusted God. I was weak in the valley because I allowed one little thing to set me off, to trigger me, to dig into an area of my heart that could not stand disrespect, that could not stand somebody acting that way, that I had to be in control. And if I would have had my way, I'd have just graduated college and had an assault charge and been put in prison in Utah. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2 and 24 says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil." At that moment, I realized there was a part of my life that had not been given to God. There was a part of my life that I knew was, it was angry. There was something in my heart that I had not yet given to God. The meek are blessed because they have rolled all of their life into God. Proverbs 16 and 3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." That word commit is a Greek word which means to roll it into. Roll it into. In other words, roll your entire life into God. Roll every part of your life into God. Roll your career, your hopes, your dreams. Roll all of the stress and the care and the worries, all of the things that you're trying to take on and handle and accomplish yourself. Roll that rage into God. Roll that failure into God. Roll that heartache into God. Commit it to God. You know, I had four kids, and I don't know how much time I have left, but I had four kids, and one of the things I was really, really good at was swaddling. I could swaddle up a baby. You know what swaddling is? Is when you wrap a baby so tight in the little blanket that they just feel secure. You know, they're used to be just in a womb and they're so secure, and then when they come out, it's just like they're flopping around, they're flailing around, it's cold, it's a different environment, they feel exposed, they're terrified. And I would swaddle, you know, my kids would be crying, the babies would be crying, and I would swaddle them up like a little burrito. I had it perfect. They were like this tight, compact little thing, and it was a baby burrito. But as soon as you would do that, as soon as you would get them so tight and swaddled up, they felt secure. They stopped crying. They felt like everything was under control. And that's how we need to be with God. We have to be that way with God, because when we don't, when it's all on us, when we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders, when you're handling it all yourself and you feel like nobody's helping you, you feel like it's all you, you're exposed. And God wants you to be rolled up in Him. Roll your life up into God. Roll your business up into God. Roll your failures up into God. He wants everything, not just the good parts of you. He wants all of you. And He wants to wrap His arms around you. The meek are blessed because they don't need to prove themselves. And I know there's many of us in this room who wake up every day, we get out of bed, we put on a smile, but we go out in the world and we're trying to prove something. We're trying to prove that we're valuable. We're trying to prove to our employer that look at me, look how good I am. I need you to see how good I am. We're trying to prove in a relationship that you're a good spouse, to a family, to father-in-laws and mother-in-laws, that you are good. I mean, to your kids. And even on top of that, we have to prove things to ourselves. And y'all, that is a heavy, heavy life. It's incredibly heavy to try to prove yourself all the time. It's incredibly heavy. And for the last 2 years, I've been a CEO of an IT company. And we have 16 employees, and I started off as CEO, and like, man, we got this. We got this. And it started off so amazing. We had a record year, like amazing. And I was like, man, I got this. I got this CEO thing. This isn't that hard. And then COVID came. And then within a matter of months, we lost 4 clients, over $50,000 a month in revenue. I had 16 employees. 16. And I began to think of every single one of them. Who do I have to let go? What do we do? And it began to crush me. And I began to look at myself, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? How could I have foreseen this? How could we have saved more? And I began to just like all thinking that it was completely all me. I was taking all the credit for how good things were going. And then all of a sudden, I had to take all the credit for how bad things were going. It was crushing me. I would wake up in the morning and I would feel like my heart was going to explode. It was so heavy. I was stressed out. I was snapping at my people. I was not me. And then God said, Will, how's that working out for you? And he told me to give it to him. And I was like, okay, God, this is a complicated thing. This is a complicated business with a bunch of complicated relationships and a bunch of complicated numbers. And God's like, give it to me. I gave it to him. I gave every single employee to him. I gave him all of it. And I said, God, I need you. I need you. I don't want to let anybody go. These are lives. These are families. I love these people. I didn't want to let them go. I was heartbroken. And I gave it to God, and all of a sudden I felt so light. I felt like it was all gone. And I said, God, I trust you. I give it all back to you. You know everything. I don't know anything. I went from a prideful, powerful CEO to a meek, lowly of heart, and gentle, submitted servant. You know what God said? God said, get to work. I didn't just give it up. I gave it up, but he told me to get to work. And we landed more projects that got us through COVID than we've ever landed in our entire lives. God brought us project after project after project after project after project. We didn't have to let one guy go. The whole team rallied. They rallied. They worked so hard, 70, 80 hour weeks, but we kept payroll going every month. And I want to brag on God for just a second. This year alone, God has blessed us with 10 clients. 10 clients. Because he's in control. It's his. It belongs to him. What did you come in here carrying today? What has your posture been? Is your posture beaten down and crushed? Or is your posture standing free in the grace and the mercy and the love of God because you trust him? Because you've put it back in his hands? Have you rolled your life, not just saying it, but giving every part of your life back to God? Are there areas of your life where you can be triggered or set off in a second? Because I'm going to tell you right now, that needs to be given to Jesus. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. God, today we give everything back to you. God, we give you our marriages. We give you our finances. We give you our past, our present, and our future. God, we honor you, Lord, with faith and trust. We commit our lives back to you. We roll our hearts and our souls and our lives back into you. Swaddle us, God. God, wrap your arms around us again. Forgive us for trying to do it on our own. Forgive us for trying to control every situation. We know you have control. We know you are mighty and that you love your people and you want to give us rest. You want us to cast every care on you. You want us to hand it over. We give it back to you today, God. We trust you. We honor you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.